whatever looks like a case that the enemy has been using against you, that case is sorted now. Before this day is over, it is evident that your captivity is torn.
God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Shall we lift up our hands to heaven this morning and celebrate Jesus one more time for his goodness and his mercy? Leo Shagaba Laratusa Marada Sogeleri Bayakatuzenoma. Thank you, Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this hour. Thank you for the privilege to be in your presence. Take all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say with me, I'm a fruitful branch of a fruitful vine. Therefore, I cannot be barren. I have a destiny of fruitfulness in Christ. No area of my life is permitted to be barren. Therefore, I know and I believe that redemption confers on me the right to fruitfulness. The right to fruitfulness. And so fruitful I shall remain all the days of my life. Everything in the kingdom works by knowledge. He said to Simon, neither flesh nor blood has revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you open on earth shall be opened in heaven, and whatever you block on earth shall be blocked in heaven. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. This kingdom operates on keys, and these keys simply connote insight. Luke 11:52. He said to them, woe unto you lawyers, because you have taken away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. You will not enter in, and those who desire to enter in, you block their access. You block their access. So, knowledge is defined as key. That means in the kingdom where you belong, where you and I belong, knowledge is the key to every door. Knowledge is the key to every door, including the doors to the supernatural. So unlocking the supernatural connotes, get the key that unlocks the supernatural and to become your natural realm of life. Get hold on the keys. Get hold on the keys. And I believe today God is putting in your hand the key to unending fruitfulness. Amen. The key to unending fruitfulness. Amen. That key is going home with you today. Amen. I said that key is going home with you today. Amen. That key is going home with you today. That key must go home with you today. Amen. That key must go home with you today. Amen. In Psalm 127, we read in verse 3, children are an heritage of the Lord. and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That means fruitfulness is part of your heritage in Christ. Fruitfulness. God wants you and I to be fruitful. Fruitful. In our body, and fruitful in the works of our hands. So if you are a child of God, you are a fruitful branch of the fruitful vine. And until the vine becomes fruitless, you cannot be fruitless. As long as the vine remains fruitful, the branch cannot be fruitless. What must I do to manifest my fruitfulness? What must I do to continue to manifest my fruitfulness? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Gave him as a seed. And out of that seed came out billions of people, of which we are one. That seed is still producing fruits till now. This morning we have seen thousands saved. Across the nations of the world, millions saved today. True love for God engenders supernatural fruitfulness. For eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, it has not entered the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. For them that love him. For them that love him. The love of God is a vital key to manifesting supernatural fruitfulness. Whosoever has my commandment and keepeth it, is he that loves me. And whosoever loves me will love for my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. John 14:21. I will step into his affairs. I will show up when he's challenged. I will take over his battles. John 14:21. The love of God supernaturally launches you into a wonder world. And let me show you how that works. In 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read a few verses here. And we have known, verse 16, and believe the love that God hath for us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we, as it were, now in this world. Come and say supernatural. As he is, so are we now in this world. So when the love of God comes alive in you, you are operating in God's own realm. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. And when our love for God is perfected, as he is in heaven, so we become on the earth. Whatever can stop the fruitfulness of his church, the body of Christ, of his plan and purpose on the earth, cannot stop your fruitfulness. Yeah. What must I do to manifest my fruitfulness? Possess a heart for God. Possess a heart for God. Possess a heart for God. Let your heart keep panting after God. And goodness and mercy will keep running after you. The young lions may suffer want and hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 34 verse 10. There are too many miracle seekers, but very few God seekers. God seekers never lack miracles. Miracle seekers may be disappointed once and again, but not God seekers. For seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things. Give God the first place in your heart, and all these things that others are dying to get, they shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. The Lord spoke those words like fire shot up in my bones back in 1976. And I rose to make a covenant with God on the basis of that scriptures on the 12th of September 1976. It's working like fire till tomorrow. He says, seek ye first my kingdom and all its demands, and all these things that others are dying to get, they shall be added to you. Giving God the first place in your heart puts you in command of all the things that others are dying to get, including fruitfulness. Including fruitfulness. Therefore, whatever is contesting with the place of God in your heart today, I command them cursed in the name of Jesus. Therefore, the hotter your love for God, the greater your command over the issues of life. The love of God is the guarantee for your fruitfulness on the earth. Give him the right place in your heart, and he puts you in supernatural command over the affairs of life. Somebody's breaking forth today. Love is first a choice. Love is a choice. It's not an endowment. You choose what or who to love. Simon, Simon, son of Barjona, lovest thou me more than this? And I said, Lord, you know I love you. Then he said to him second time, Simon, son of Barjona, lovest thou me more than this? He said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. He said, feed my lamb. That is proof. Prove that love. Prove that love. Love without proof is fake. Love without proof is fake. Love without proof is fake. Now in chapter 4, 1 John verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hated his brother, is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Love without proof is fake. If you love him, then prove it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, he said, this do to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. So love is not an emblem. Love is an act. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. but indeed and in truth. Saying that you love him is no proof that you love him. Let us prove the sincerity of our love for whosoever has this word good and sees his brother have need and shutteth up the bowels of his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 17. How dwelleth the love of God in him? You can't be in love without it showing. If it's not showing, it is not real. Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Better than for me and my father's house, and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you cannot serve the Lord because he's a jealous God. He will not stand your double dealing. So if you truly love him, you will what? Serve him. If you are not serving him, there is no proof that you love him. He told Peter in John 21, verse 15 to 17, do you love me? He said, I love you. He said, feed my lamb. Prove that love. Do you love me? He said, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me third time? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that. He said, I've heard you, but now prove it. Feed my sheep. If you love him, you will serve him. If you are not serving him, there is no proof that you love him. And if you love him, then he will love you. And then he will manifest himself to you. I pray that in this great year of divine visitation, God will manifest himself to you. In this great year of divine visitation, my God will manifest himself to you. In this great year of divine visitation, my God will manifest himself to you. You believe that? Let me hear your loudest. Amen. Yeah. If you love him, you will love his word. David said, and you know David is a man after God's own heart. He said, I found me a man after my own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. He's a man after God's own heart. And he said, oh, how love I thy law. Psalm 119, verse 97. It's my meditation all the day long. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I understand more than the ancient, because I keep thy precepts. And see, if you are in love, you will love his word. If you don't love his word, there is no proof that you love him. Number three, if you are in love, you will love his house. I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1 to 6. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. If you love him, you will love his house. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O God. Psalm 84, verse 1 and verse 4. If you love him, you will love his house. Yesterday made it 42 years that I met Jesus. And in 42 years, I was never comfortable anywhere on fellowship days except in God's presence. So bad that I said to my lecturers in those days, I'm a full-time Christian and a part-time student. full time. And that same full time Christian is privileged today to lead a revolution in education in Nigeria. That same part time student, part time. I was so addicted that the only exams I was still going about celebrating Jesus. But it's 42 years of not one day of regret, not once. Have you been challenged? Plenty of it, but plenty of victories to match. Have you been confronted? Plenty of it, but plenty of conquest to show. Have you been resisted? Oh, yes, plenty of it, but plenty of breakthroughs as testimonies. Can I hear your amen? Amen. If you love him, you will love his house. One day I got up and I discovered it was about 3 minutes to the time of meeting. I jumped up. I don't know how I wore my dress, if I wore one. Because God must not arrive there before me. I was not a pastor. You love him, you will love his house. So those who walk around and say, I got so busy, I'm just busy. Can't help. I'm a managing director. Well done. You are busier than God, who keeps appointment. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you see it showing in my life? They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Now I'm just up this morning. I haven't felt I did any job. I've not done nothing. It's only third service. I mean, there's nothing in it. I can't feel nothing. They go from strength to strength. Church addicts always gallop from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. They go from strength to strength. If you love him, you will love his house. If you don't love his house, there is no proof that you love him. You are fake. Those who love drinking, they are always there every day. They are also managing directors, CEO, federal parastatal, state parastatal, NMPC parastatal. They go to their drinking bar every day in spite of their busy schedule. In fact, they are expecting them there. They know the time they are to arrive. Okay, by 9 p.m., Oga will soon come. This is seat to come and waste his money. Then he comes out. The drinks is already waiting. Chili, cold, plus charcoal around it. So, he gives them post-dated check as offering. He has to pay tithe. Everybody pays tithe, whether you pay it to God or not. Everybody pays tithe. The devourer will take it. If you don't give it to God, the devourer will take it. There is no one who can escape it. You can't but have time for what you love. Everybody has time for what he loves. There are people today, even if they are sick, they watch network news. If they are sick, that is, they put needle on his side. Eh? And put drip on his body. He said, please put on network news. The remaining, because he loves it. You can't but have time for what you love. Whatever you don't have time for, you don't truly love it. If you love him, you will love his house. Number four, if you love him, you will always give liberally to his cause. Giving will become your way of life. God so loved and God so gave. If you so love, you will so give. Giving is one of the ways to prove the sincerity of your love. And that's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, that we referred to earlier on. And God so loved, in chapter 3, verse 16 of John, the word that he gave his only begotten son. Abraham so loved God, he gave his only son, Isaac. If you so love, you will so give. If you are not a giver, you are not a lover. You may give without loving for any cause. You can give bribe to somebody to do you a favor. You know, anybody can give anything. But you can't love without being a giver. Every lover is a giver. Not every giver may be a lover. But every true lover must be a giver. David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 3, "And now because of my affection for the house of my God," 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3, "I have given, I have of my own proper good, given of gold and silver, I have given to the house of my God." If you are a lover, you are going to be a giver. One day we gathered together and as students, and I said, "Folks, God just spoke to me that everybody should bring everything he has in his pocket out for this outreach that is coming." And I said, "Now, this is everything I have." I said, "If your own is not here, go and bring it from wherever it is. We'll wait here for you." And they came. I said, "I hope you have brought." "Yeah, I hope you have brought all." Okay. "But I've given all my own. I learned to live by faith a long time. I'd given all my own. When I was a student leader, we bought 2 brand new buses without knocking on anybody's door. I knew how to move the hand of God. When I finished doing my own, he does his own. Bow." If you are a lover, you'll be a giver. That's why every lover supernaturally prospers, because they are on key with the factors of prosperity. They're on key with it. You know, he said, "They shall be blessed with the goodness of my house." So there is goodness in his house. There is goodness in his word. I mean, everything that makes people prosper is in the love of God for him. The proven love of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm talking about? So let's stop singing it. Let's start doing it. Love is a thing you do. It's not a thing you sing. It's a thing you do. It was the yearly sacrifice that brought Hannah an encounter that gave birth to Samuel. Somebody's having an encounter here this morning. Yeah. Quickly, what are the barriers to our fruitfulness? I've shown you now the key. Now let's reveal and unveil some of the oppositions on our way. The first one is hopelessness. What do I call it? What do I call it? Now, God cannot help the hopeless. God cannot help the hopeless. The hopeless will remain helpless. To be hopeless is to be helpless. Because faith can only fertilize your hope into a miracle. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when there is nothing you are hoping for, faith remains impotent. So when you become hopeless, you become helpless. Some fellows have concluded nothing works in Nigeria, and truly nothing is working for them. Some have concluded this business under these economic circumstances, because it's an international business, it cannot work. So it stops working. To be hopeless is to be helpless. Well, I've reached the age of menopause. We have to forget it. It's wisdom to forget it. There is nothing to expect. Because if there is no menstruation, how do you now become pregnant? The days of Abraham are different from the days of now. And I'm not Abraham. To be hopeless is to be helpless. Miracles only answers to fertilized hope. You come expecting, and faith triggers off the miraculous. That man at the beautiful gate cast his gaze on Peter, expecting to receive something. 3:5-6. And Peter said, "Silver or gold have I none, or such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he arose and leaped and walked in praising God. Now you see, no expectation, no manifestations. But the good news is, every child of God is begotten to a lively hope. Come and say, lively hope. 1 Peter 1:5. We are begotten into a living hope. Hope. So there is no time in your life where your case will become hopeless. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, what happens? There is hope. Because a living dog is better than what? A dead lion. Say with me, there is hope for me.
Hope.
Anytime,
anytime,
any day,
any day,
anywhere,
anywhere,
and on any issue. There is hope for me.
Hope.
A living hope.
A living hope.
A lively hope.
A lively hope.
A lively hope.
A lively hope.
My case can never be hopeless.
My case can never be hopeless.
God who brought Lazarus out of the grave, after he started decomposing, can overturn any situation in my favor. As long as my hope and faith are intact, God's integrity is ever committed to make good this promise. To make good this promise. Your case can never be hopeless. Because you are joined to the living God. You are a living branch of a fruitful vine. Therefore, you cannot be fruitless. You say, how shall this thing be? He says, shut up. Don't ask me how. I'm God Almighty. I'm the omnipotent God. He put seed inside Mary without meeting a man. I'm the omnipotent God. You are talking about low sperm count. Abraham had no sperm at all. Whether low count or high count. It was zero count. Nothing. Sarah had no eggs at all. Yet Isaac came. Can I tell you this? No matter what anybody may have concluded on your case, God is turning the table today. One of our daughters here had no fallopian tubes. God turned it and had a set of twins. You don't need fallopian tubes, you need fallopian babies. She got set of twins. Your case can never be hopeless. One of our daughters here had no ovaries. They were removed by surgery before she got married. I have a son today. I have two of them. One is in Covenant University. Your case can never be hopeless. Hear what Job said. Job chapter 14 and verse 7. There is hope for a tree if it be cut down, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. He said that it will sprout again. There is hope that it will sprout again. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. He said, yet, verse 9, through the scent of water, or call it the scent word. Come and say the scent word. Through the scent word, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Now the scent word is coming here this morning. There is hope for a tree if it be cut down. Whatever they have cut from your body in surgery, it doesn't matter. There is hope for a tree if it be cut down and its roots wax old in the ground, that it will bear. Job chapter 14, verse 14. Then Job concluded and said, if a man die, shall he live again? He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Come and say hope. When your hope is alive, your miracle cannot be stopped. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he should be a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, even so shall thy seed be. Therefore, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God has spoken, he's also able to perform. Being fully persuaded against hope, he believed in hope. Romans 4, verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. He believed in hope. Very interesting. I'd like you to understand this. That as long as you are joined to the living, there is hope. Because a living dog is better than what? A dead ally. And Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. John 15, 1. I am the vine and you are the branches. The problem is that you keep just come and go. You have to be joined and stay joined to manifest your fruitfulness. You have to stay joined. There are too many hit and run believers. John getting around for miracles. Stay on and you will turn the miracles on. I'm here to go on the first sabbatical since I met Jesus. Amen. It's 42 short years. I'm enjoying myself. I've not wasted my life on the earth. He's given it many every day. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I have no regret following him. He hasn't hurt me once. He's kept me. He's cuddled me. He's covered me. He's sealed me. I'm just blessed. I can tell you, and I know what I'm talking about. I am stronger now than I was in 1969. And that is clean truth. Clean what? That's clean truth. So my case and Caleb are different. Caleb was as strong as he was. I'm stronger than I was. It's 42 years. I'm stronger than I was then. If I try a knock on your head, you will just know what it is. You feel the weight of the strength. Or can I try? Glory to God. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hopelessness is an enemy of fruitfulness. Hopelessness is an enemy of fruitfulness. Hopelessness is an enemy of fruitfulness. Fight it! Quickly now. Enemy number two. is oppositions of science. What do I call it? Say it loud if you are awake. Say it louder. I think our church here has messed up. God has messed up science in this place. A lady was pregnant, and a top range gynecologist, a professor, a world renowned professor, a World Health Organization director, said, "No, this is not pregnancy, this is fibroid." The local woman said, "That's your own. My own, a baby." And started anointing the tummy. Every day. They call it fibroid. Every checkup, it was fibroid. But God was hiding the baby in the fibroid. And then suddenly, the fine boy arise. It was not fibroid, it was a fine boy. The boy landed. Can I tell you what? With a visible mark of oil on the head. Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Medical verdicts are inferior to scriptural verdicts forever and eternally. I said again, the medical verdicts are forever inferior to scriptural verdicts. Forever and ever. This morning we had a testimony in the first service. After 14 years of barrenness, one day the word of God struck in a study room at 1 a.m. and jacked up and began to make proclamations. Now you got it. Now we have the baby. It is today, not tomorrow. And the wife got pregnant. And throughout the 10 months of pregnancy, she was menstruating every month. Oppositions of science, falsely so-called, menstruating every month. That is contrary to scientific verdict. Menstruation means no pregnancy. God says, stop. I am the creator of nature. I can ride on nature to do anything I want to do. The baby was here this morning. I had the privilege of touching that baby here. 10 months of continuous menstruation. And the last month, the blood was so much. And the wife said to the husband, this blood is too much. The man said, that is excess blood. You heard what our father said. He said, that is like nose bleeding. And it can bleed through any open space. There is not excess blood. The blood was too much. It may affect the child, so it had to go up. He rides on nature. The one that rides on the wings of the cloud. He rides on the circles of the earth, doing what he pleases. So menstruation is not a proof that you have lost pregnancy. It is your ignorance that lost the pregnancy. Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. If there are no ovaries, then there can't be a baby. That is a scientific verdict. Because according to them, it is the egg that is fertilized to become a baby. That is their own limited understanding. God doesn't have to fertilize anything. He just speaks pregnant, and then you are pregnant. There's no fertilization. His word is the egg. His word is the sperm. He fertilizes anything at his time, any moment. Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. He said, avoid it. Avoid. Don't let it rule your life. Don't let it rule your life. Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. So everyone whose destiny has been tied down by scientific verdicts that we never have children. And anytime they pray, say, well, I hope if my own were just like others, but now I don't have fallopian tubes, I don't have ovary, I don't have womb, how will I have a baby? Okay, oh God, but in case it happens, but I'm not sure if anything can happen, so just pray. Pray again. I've collected prayer from many places, so pray again now. Let's see what... Amen. Glory to God. Except science lines up with the truth, throw it into the trash. Throw it into where? Throw it into the trash. Throw it there and forget it there. Throw it there and forget it there. 31 years ago, a doctor took my blood pressure and exclaimed, "Ah! High blood pressure." I said, "Not me." He said, "Look at you." I said, "It's not necessary." I'm saying, "I cannot have. Not that I don't have. Can you test me positive for pregnancy? If I'm worried, then I've lost my mind. Because a man cannot be pregnant. It is the same way I cannot have high blood pressure." He said, "Okay, oh." And there's been okay ever since. I never know the name of any drug on high blood pressure in my life. I'm one of the strongest human entities on the earth. Oppositions of science. He wanted to sell high blood pressure to me. I rejected it. Because they sell sickness to people in hospital. You go there alive and now and smiling, and the test, you say, "You have mobile." Then immediately all your system crashes. You are the one jumping up and down now. But when you get to the market where they sell it, they just give you one. They look at you and say, "How much money can this man pay?" They give you about three of them. Then start swallowing. I throw it back there. I was afflicted with running nose years ago, 1979. And I tried to explain it away that, okay, it was because the roads were dusty. Most of the roads were not paved. And then you drive, you are always on the road. Then it occurred to me, if Jesus were on this road, will he be running nose? No. So it must not be the dust, it must be the devil. It cannot be the dust. It must be what? The devil. Is everybody on that road running nose? No. Otherwise, the whole road will be full of running nose. So why must I, a son of the Most High, be running nose? So I took the handkerchief. I was on the platform to preach. I took the handkerchief and threw it away. They thought I mistakenly threw it away like he was trying to do now. Amen. I said, "Stop it." I said, "If this thing enters my mouth, I will not touch it." 1979 tomorrow. Stop. Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Somebody's blessed here. Can I say this to you? No medical verdict can stand scriptural verdict. It is like the rod of the magicians and the rod of Aaron. One will swallow up the other. And the rod of God will swallow up the rod of the magicians. So whatever the physicians have told you that is contrary to the truth, I declare them swallowed up this morning. Well, is somebody blessed in the house this morning? Are you blessed in the house this morning? Well, we started by saying children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You don't have an inheritance in a family you do not belong. So anyone in this room today that is not born again yet, wherever you are, I'd like to pray with you. Your only access to an inheritance in a family is when you belong to that family. Close you are to the family does not entitle you to it. You must become a member of that family. And until you are born again, you cannot become a member of God's family. So you don't have an inheritance in God until you are saved. Everyone here that wants to give his life to Christ, please stand to your feet. I'd like to pray with you. Wherever you are, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You want to be saved this morning? You want to become a child of God? You want to make it to heaven at the end of your journey? Please stand to your feet. You want to enjoy the blessings of redemption while on earth? Stand to your feet. Wherever you are, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep standing. Everyone that wants to be saved, stand to your feet wherever you are. You want to be born again this morning? Stand to your feet. Oh, yes, the gates are wide open. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. God has a rich inheritance for his own children on the earth, and he has eternity for them in heaven. Stand to your feet and be part of this great move of the Spirit who has come alive right now. Amen. How many now believe that scriptures is superior to science? How many believe that whatever God has planned to do, no scientific fact can destroy? How many believe that they are entering their next level of fruitfulness today? Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah! Very quickly, we're going to get into some brief session of praise as we welcome everyone in this house that is here today, particularly believing God expectantly for the miracle of children. Wherever you are, take your baby items as instructed and dance your way to the front like a mad guy. You remember the testimony? And God will turn the table against your enemy. Hallelujah! Come on now, choir. Let's celebrate Jesus.
I will rejoice and be glad in him.
Everybody rejoice.
I will rejoice and be glad.
I lift up
my voice to sing praise to the Lord.
This is the day
he has made.
Everybody, I will rejoice.
I will rejoice
and be glad. And I lift up my voice to sing praise to the Lord. Everybody rejoice!
I will rejoice
and be glad. And I lift up my voice to sing praise. Rejoice! Come on, celebrate the minute down. I will rejoice and be glad. And I lift up my voice to sing praise. Everybody, celebrate him in the dance. Celebrate Jesus. And I lift up my voice to sing praise. Everybody
rejoice.
And I lift up my voice. I will rejoice and be glad. And I lift up my voice to say
praise.
I will rejoice and be glad. And I lift up my voice to say praise to God. And this is the day. Rejoice, everybody!
Every day,
gbe ogo kari ogo lati nu ogo lo sinu ogo oba ti ki sun
glory be to the Lord in the high.
Hallelujah.
Celebrate him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everybody carry those items you have come with as you're carrying a baby. God sent me as a prophet to this generation. And whatever is spoken through my mouth, he has always confirmed it. We've never had a covenant day of fruitfulness without fresh deliveries. And everyone that is ready among you, today is your day. In 9 months' time, you have your wonders in your hand. In 9 months' time, you have your wonders in your hand. One of our daughters here got pregnant and X-ray couldn't find it, scan couldn't find it, pregnancy test couldn't locate it. The day it was found was the day she delivered. So God took care of the antenatal by himself. God nurtured the baby by himself. No man had a hand in it. There are many of you here. You have a most supernatural childbirth. In the name of Jesus. We're in our Holy Ghost year, and God said, for your shame, you shall have what? And he went on and said, and in their land shall they possess what? The double. That's double, 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 double. So everyone that desires twins among you, receive them now. You desire triplets, receive them now. You desire quadruplets, receive them now. In the name of Jesus. Please get a little of that oil if you have it, or get from someone else. Just get a little of the oil on your hand. I want you to anoint that material in your hand. The material of the babies you have brought, and the names of the babies you may have written. Now anoint them now in the name of Jesus. And what you have anointed is not the cloth, it's not the item, but your children. Your children. I decree a seal of life over your desires now in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God is the seal of God over his promises. I decree right now that the promises of God for you be sealed for performance now in the name of Jesus. Yours is delivered. Yours is a reality. Your mockers will turn around to envy you. In the name of Jesus. It is done. Dance back to your seat right now. Congratulate one another right there in front. Dance back to your seat now. Miracle children, plenty of them. Come on, dance back to your seat. Everybody rejoice! Everybody put a bit of this oil on your right palm and in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, my horn shall die exalt like the horn of a unicorn and shall be anointed with fresh oil. And verse 14 said, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. This is anointing for all round fruitfulness. Amen. Nothing in your life is permitted to be barren again. Psalm 92 and verse 10 all the way to 15. The anointing for fruitfulness. Now all that believe this, place this right now on your forehead and begin to prophesy fruitfulness over your life. Prophesy fruitfulness over your life. Prophesy fruitfulness over your life. With this fresh oil, I become fruitful in all areas of my life. The yoke of fruitlessness is destroyed. It's a brand new day for me. In Jesus' precious name. I declare you supernaturally fruitful in all areas of your life. Be fruitful in the name of Jesus. Be fruitful in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.
David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Call 774-7546, 774-7547, 774-7548. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at at Faith Tabernacle, Canaanland, Kilometer 10 Idiroko Road, Otter.